The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's Friday, end of another week, and we're rolling already through the middle of January. Hard to believe. Okay. Harry Cooper is with us tonight. We're going to do something special. Now, I know, and I didn't watch it. I don't watch it. The History Channel has started their season two of Hunting Hitler. I don't have time. I don't watch commercial television. I do know, though, that the vast majority of information in there is derivative entirely from Harry Cooper's work. Over the years, we have seen him reveal so much. And the book, Hitler in Argentina, is absolutely must reading. Hitler and the Secret Alliance, the other one that goes with it. So by all means, if you really want the first-person account of history, those are the books to get. We have things to talk about tonight. His Southern Patrol is coming up next September. What's interesting about that, beside being absolutely fascinating history, it's the last one. This is your last opportunity to go and walk through the footsteps of history with the maestro himself, Harry Cooper. This is something you really want to spend some time thinking about. There are people already signing up. It's going to be a good contingent, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I don't have to tell you what's happening to Europe and how difficult it is over there in some respects, although these tours stay away from the troubled areas. There have been no difficulties at all. But if you want to go see Europe and want to experience history first person, first hand, this is your best possible opportunity to do so. We'll talk more about that as we continue. Admiral, welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm still here, thank you. We're fine.
That's a good start.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, just, I guess for fun, since I mentioned it, tell our listeners and all of your members who are listening why this is an opportunity truly not to be missed. If you can afford it, great. If you can't afford it, you ought to try. And we have something else to add. I'll add to it after Harry tells us about the upcoming tour. Now, this is September, and September will be here before you know it.
Right. Well, we're going for 2 weeks. We land in Munich. We gather up. I mean, everybody comes in on their own. We gather up at our host hotel, which is right on the edge of the airport, so you can't get lost. And we go to, well, let me go to that. We've got that on your website. There we go. We go to an air museum that has an ME-163 rocket fighter in there, and another one that's got an ME-262 jet fighter. Looks like a smiling shark coming at you. We tour the historic sites in Nuremberg where the party rallies were.
Right.
We stand on the same platform where Hitler stood and all the others stood to make their speeches. We go to the, we usually go inside that stadium. Most people don't even realize there is an inside.
Uh-huh.
But there's an inside, and of course there's a sign on the door that says Eingang verboten, which means shark hunters are welcome here.
It's a an interesting interior too. And what is the ceiling? I remember something about the ceiling in there.
Right, the ceiling is all inlaid with gold swastikas and all sorts of gold trim in the ceiling. When Hitler would arrive, he'd come to a special train station right behind the stadium.
Uh-huh.
And we have lunch there in that train station. It's still standing. It's no longer used as a train station. It is a restaurant, so we have lunch there. But he would get off the train there and come in this back door behind the back of the stadium.
Uh-huh.
And there's this huge big room, the Golden Room, where there'd be receptions. So we go in there, and then we go up a few flights of stairs to what had been Hitler's temporary office. There's absolutely nothing in the offices anymore. Everything, they're just bare empty rooms.
But, so there's no chance of you going blind if you look around and see the wrong symbols?
No. Nobody's gone blind yet on any of our tours.
Uh-huh.
We've had a lot of people have a lot of fun on our tours, but nobody's gone blind.
You have had some, and we've talked about this, we've taken virtual tours here with Harry for you newcomers, and the people that go on these tours are very special people, and they have absolutely the trip of a lifetime. Look under Cooper's name in guests at the bottom at rents.com over on the left-hand side, and if you'll see the last link down there, sign up now for the Last Southern Patrol. This is your opportunity. Click on that and just look at some of the pictures which portray some of the things you're going to get to see. Now, Harry's already mentioned the Comet rocket fighter is there. You're going to get to see one of those. You'll see a Messerschmitt 262. These are extraordinary technological marvels for their day, a decade ahead of everyone else. And then some. And then look at the other pictures as well. Just some of the things you'll see on this trip. Amazing.
Yeah, that's me and Holger. Holger's a good friend of mine in Nuremberg, and he helps guide us around. And also, I've got a good friend there, Michael, who is a lieutenant colonel in their army, and he's also the assistant to the mayor, and he's got keys to everything. And he's a very knowledgeable guy.
Right.
So then underneath the picture of me and Holger, then there's a picture of looking across the reflecting lake from the Zeppelin field. We're looking at the Congress Hall, which
mm-hmm.
we visit.
Mm-hmm.
And this was being built like the Colosseum in Rome, except you could put the Colosseum inside this thing and have plenty of room left over. This was mm-hmm. going to be all the offices for all the ministries of all the Third Reich. But then the war came along and construction was abandoned because they needed the people and the material for the war effort. And directly below that is where the death ceremony was held. Hitler and Goering, I think it was, Himmler, and one other guy would walk through all the huge masses of soldiers at attention from the stadium to this place, and this is where they did the blood flag ceremony, where he would touch the blood flag to the regimental standards of each of the regiments there.
Mm-hmm.
We go there. And in that area, also, there's a memorial to the German pilots from both World Wars. It had to be for World War. It was there for World War I first.
We need to mention that because World War I was As bad as World War II was, World War I was just as hideous in its own way. The slaughter of humanity, soldiers from both sides or all three sides of the, however you want to look at it. And this, this extraordinary tour will bring you into contact with what's left. You'll feel and sense history like you can't. You can't. You can stare at the television, you know, for 100 years. You go over there and you walk it and you see it. And as we go through these pictures now of the upcoming tour, you'll get an idea. And the picture that says under it, pleasant dining, is an understatement. They have a ball. And we've seen so many pictures of Harry Cooper eating, it's enough to last a lifetime. And I assume you let everyone else eat as well, because you eat like a king.
Fellows who are seated, that's father and son. Father is the guy in the light shirt, that's Georgi, and in the blue is Evgeny, the son, and that was last year. They were the first Russian civilians to be with us on any tours. They've already signed up for this tour again. They're coming back again.
Well, that's great.
So they obviously thought it was a lot of fun last time around.
You bet.
And we got another fellow, Victor Hirschman. I think this is number 6 for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's your last chance, and the food is splendid, the history is spectacular, and the experience is unforgettable. And that's why these people come back.
Yeah, what we say about Germany and Austria, you can't take a bad picture, you can't get a bad meal, and you can't get a bad beer.
There you go.
And let me tell you, you don't go away from any of these places hungry. They'll give you food that you better have an appetite.
Yeah. Well, what are those little Nuremberg sausages?
Oh, those little Nuremberger sausages. They're very rich. They're about the size of your little finger. And we always have our contest. We eat at a restaurant that had been in business for 90 years before Christopher Columbus ever set out for the New World. So this place has been there a long time, and even an average-sized guy like me, 5'10", got a duck going through there because this was built back in the
People didn't used to be that big. That's right.
That's right. And if Evgeny there, the guy in the blue, he's about 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
He was walking hunched over through the place. But
mm-hmm.
you get the sausages. They come 6 on a plate with that fantastic German potato salad. And they're so rich. They're little tiny things, but you can't eat a lot. We have our contest for the...
Yeah, you have a Shark Hunters contest?
We do indeed, a Shark Hunters contest. And the record for a Shark Hunters member... was 42, and anyone who can eat more than that, I'll buy their dinner.
Yeah, sausages. So, by then, well, they don't want it.
You can get their sausages.
No, this was this place actually a restaurant for all of that time, or did it go through various incarnations, residence, business, office, whatever?
From the best of my knowledge, it's been a restaurant from the get-go.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
So, and the actual record, not Shark Hunters, but anybody and everybody, is like 140 eaten by by a Muslim there.
That's what?
Yeah. Well, these are beef sausages, I guess.
I hope. Well, I don't hope. I don't care. But, yeah, okay.
I don't care either.
All right. Now, you haven't said anything about the women, so we'll leave that on the side. But the German women, German men, beautiful people, friendly people. You always have a great time there.
Oh, it's friendly. Absolutely friendly and open. And we bump into people at random and right away. It's like we've known them forever. And when we get to some of the other places, we'll see on as we scroll down a little bit, we're part of the family.
Yeah. It's I wish I could go. I just can't. I would do anything to be able to go. One day, Harry and I are going to go somewhere. I don't know where. But,
okay, scrolling down, of course, on the left side, you see Oktoberfest, the world's biggest beer party. And it's just a lot of fun, and all those big beer tents. Now, this is to highlight the Munich-based breweries, mm-hmm. and each one of these beer tents has an oompa band, and each one tries to be louder than the guy next door, and you know, the people are jammed shoulder to shoulder and just having a hell of a good time. The food is really great, and the beer, it's a little pricey, but, you know, what the heck?
You get what you pay for. Look, right. This is so much fun. Look at the horses and the wagon and the big kegs on there, and that's just amazing.
Right.
And they've been doing it that way for how long?
Oh, well, Oktoberfest started when Prince Ludwig was marrying a princess of some or another.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big wedding festival, and it was in October. Now it's not in October because the weather for a while had gotten rainy and crummy in October, so they moved it into September. So back mm-hmm. here in the U.S., when you see people having Oktoberfest in October, you'll know they didn't do their homework very well, because in Germany it ends the first weekend in October, mm-hmm. and so it's two weeks before that it starts. Yeah.
It says here you just found another bunker complex that you just learned about. What's the deal there?
Yeah, this one was not World War II. This was Cold War, and it was a very large bunker complex with tons of guns right along the line between the in Austria, facing the Soviet uh-huh. lines. And this thing goes on and in the ground and under the ground and through the hills. And this is where anybody who wants to ride in an APC, armored personnel carrier, can do so. But that's not part of the tour. If you want to ride like we all did, we kick up another 10 euros
uh-huh.
and you put on a helmet, hang on for dear life, because the guy they have driving is a worse driver than Mario Andretti. And I knew Mario, so I'm not saying anything out of school there. And, the guy just got this big grin on his face like he's trying to see how many people he can throw out of the APC with his wild turns and things.
Well, all right. That's an option. Okay.
Yeah. And down below that, there's a picture. That's Evgeny again, the Russian. He came on this tour because he's been trying for years to meet a veteran of the Waffen-SS. And he holds them in very high esteem, as does just about every American soldier who fought against the Waffen-SS. They agree that the Waffen-SS were the toughest soldiers of the war. And this old guy with Evgeny was in the 6th SS. Now, Evgeny wanted so much to meet these veterans, he studied German so he could converse with them. And the guy's very fluent in German.
That's a class act. That's very classy. That's nice.
Yeah, he's a great guy, him and his father. His father doesn't speak English or German very much, but Evgeny speaks excellent English, excellent
right.
German.
Well,
way better German than I speak, that's for sure.
That's amazing. And look at the, it's nice to see there are still veterans alive of all wars, all combat teams, but especially the Germans. We have to remember that Germany, which fought this gigantic war, 90% of which occurred in the Eastern Front against the Soviet hordes, 90% in the East, 10% against the British and the Americans in the West. That's how it broke down.
Yeah.
And Germany is about the size of Texas, all right? That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And look what they almost pulled off. And for God's sakes, General Patton knew, and that's why General Patton was murdered, he knew he fought the wrong enemy in the war. Had we fought the right enemy and the British had sued for peace, Hitler was even dropping peace leaflets all over London, imploring the British to settle for peace, not to surrender, not to give anything up, just to agree to peace.
Quit your shooting at each other, yeah.
So they could concentrate fully on the Soviet hordes and the Bolsheviks. Look what happened afterward, and look where we are now.
Yeah, Well, Churchill kept rebuffing all of the peace proposals. I think there was 20 of them. And Rudolf Hess was not on a madman mission. He was on a mission but that's another story. So, anyhow.
All right, we're looking at pictures of what you will be able to participate in come this September. And I urge all of you, if you can possibly do it, do it. You will never forget it. And I'd like to see 40 or 50 people on this tour. It'd be just great.
Yeah. Shall we continue here?
You're the boss. You bet.
Okay. To the left of that picture with Evgeny and the SS veteran, you'll see that mini castle. That's on a lake down in Austria. And we go on a three-hour cruise. Not with Gilligan and the skipper, but...
When I met you, you sent me that. You told me it was your house in Florida.
Yeah, we don't have houses like or hills and stuff like that in Florida. Right now, we're freezing our ass off down here.
I heard 20, what is it, 20? Something like that?
Yeah, for the last couple of weeks, it's been getting down into the 20s at night. We've had hard freezes. And, hey, you got to give Donald Trump credit. He solved the global warming problem in his first year in office.
Wow, that's awfully cold.
Scroll up a little, and there's me in my uniform with my girlfriend over there. That's Herta. Every time she sees me, she comes running over and gives me a big hug. She's such a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And she always makes sure when I leave this gathering, which I'll talk about in a moment, she always makes sure I have a couple small individual-sized bottles of schnapps tucked into my pocket that she gives me.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So that picture and the two pictures below it with the guys with the banners and flags and et cetera, that's the high point of the whole tour. That's the Ulrichsburg Memorial, where they meet and they remember everyone who fell in battle, no matter what uniform, no matter what flag, everybody who fell in battle. And of course, the scumbags at the Southern Poverty Law Center say, oh, it's a Nazi SS gathering. No, it isn't.
Wrong.
It's a gathering for people to honor the fallen, the combat fallen.
Well, the truth has never gotten in the way of the spitlickers.
No, they don't. As long as they can keep that cash register ringing. Now, on the right side of that, we are in Austria, and you see the cross on the stone. It's called Steinkreuz, which means stone and cross. This whole area, that's a Mondsee, which means Moon Lake, that was all an area, R&R, for the Waffen-SS during the war, because it was very easily defendable, narrow entrances at both ends of this valley. They had hospitals there, they had recreation facilities there, and so we tour that area. And right below the Steinkreuz, I think, is that cathedral. If you saw the movie The Sound of Music, that's where they had the wedding ceremony filmed.
Huh.
Fun Trap and, Hills Are Alive. I won't sing. You'll lose all your listeners.
Well, that was Julie Andrews. And so
Julie
you get
Andrews,
to go there. Yeah.
And we can go inside, and they sell souvenirs. There's souvenirs every place you go, like any place else. There's souvenirs everywhere. And then the building below that, it's the oldest wooden church in Austria. And in our magazine, which our members can get, and your viewers can, I'll tell you how they can get a free copy of the magazine in a little bit. We ran pictures of this in our magazine when we got back, and doggone, we got an email with a bunch of photos from one of our female members. She's a widow. Her husband had been with the German military. Pictures of her when she took her first Holy Communion in that church in Austria when she was a kid.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
History comes together here.
Very
so we
nice.
Scroll down a little more. And on the left, we see a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right, a race car. And down to the middle picture, that same tunnel once we get into it, and a B-25 bomber. Now, the tunnel, this is just a, one of the tunnel systems we'll be in. The Allies were bombing Germany so badly, they dug into all sorts of mountains, et cetera, and they built this tunnel here. This is an 8-tunnel complex, factory complex. They were building all sorts of stuff. In this particular tunnel that we're looking at here, they were building brakes and brake parts for German trucks. The rest, you know, they're not well-maintained, some of them. We don't go into the other ones, but stuff like this we go into, and with the gentleman, the doctor who takes care of it and runs the history. On the right side, you see the Red Bull race car and then the B-25 bomber. Everybody probably, like me, assumed that Red Bull was an American company. It is not. It is headquartered in Salzburg, Austria, and they've got this huge big hangar. You look at the picture of the B-25, you can see the beautiful glass dome over the top. They've got fighter planes in there. They've got a P-38 that flies. It's the only operational P-38 in all of Europe, and this B-25 bomber, and they've got a Navy Corsair.
How did they get it? Did they chrome it? What did they do?
Well, I thought
polished stainless steel.
Sure, it was still chrome, but one of our members said no, but it would be too heavy to fly. Well, okay.
So they polished the stainless steel or the steel, whatever.
Well, it should be aluminum, I guess, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a magic paint. Who knows? But they've got one hell of a display there, and a lot of Soviet jet fighters are in there, and you can just lose yourself with your camera. So we go there.
Is that where the Comet is on the 262?
Oh, no.
That's another one.
The 262 are up in a little town called Ingolstadt, in between Munich and Nuremberg. Now, this is down in Salzburg, Austria.
Do you remember I sent you that YouTube video of a comet that they tow aloft and it glides in for a landing? It's still, in other words, it flies, but not powered. I sent that to you a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. I've got it tucked away.
You saw it, right? You saw it. It's amazing to see it.
Many moons ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I might say also in this magnificent hangar that the Red Bull people have, they've also got a snack bar with great ice cream.
Yeah, you would mention that.
I travel Europe from one ice cream parlor to another.
They have the normal size, and they have the Cooper size.
Yes, that's right, which is about a foot and a half tall.
Yeah.
As I've said before, my favorite is called Heiße Liebe, which means hot love. It's 3 scoops of vanilla ice cream with hot raspberries poured all over it and about a half a pound of whipped cream on top of that.
Wow. Well, you've got to have fuel in your tank, Harry, or you won't be able to do the tour. So.
Apparently so.
All right. So where we are, in case somebody wrote, to where are you? We can't find the pictures. Look under Harry's name in guests, and you'll see 3 links down below. The bottom link is sign up now for the Last Southern Patrol. Click on that, and you'll see the page that we're on, and these are the pictures we've been looking at.
Next item down. Even massive castles, it says. That's the castle at Salzburg. And we toured that if you want to. That's an option. It's huge. Each one of the bastions had its own name and had its own little military village around each one of the towers and bastions. And they've got several restaurants with ice cream.
Funniest thing.
Yeah. And on the right side, where it says this tunnel led to Hitler's bunker system, and you see it's bricked off. That was in our magazine, too, and one of our members emailed and said, hey, a sledgehammer, you can knock through that easily. Well, yes, you could, but they won't let you take a sledgehammer where you go after you knock that down, because that wall there, that bricked-up wall, that's right on the property line between the Hotel Zum Turken and the Bavarian government property, which owns the property where Hitler's house once stood. So if you bust through there, you're trespassing.
Okay, and, so that tunnel system went up to the Berghof.
Oh, yes. and other parts of it went off in different directions to Goering's bunker and to Bormann's bunker, but those are all bricked up too. The government of Bavaria would keep you out of all of the bunkers.
Yeah, the government of Bavaria is stupid. They could make millions of dollars a year by having guided tours of these tunnels.
Oh, yeah. And if they hadn't knocked down Hitler's home, Goering's home, and Bormann's home, they could have put a turnstile up. And
it never would have stopped turning.
Yeah. Oh, it would have just bing, bingity, bingity, bing. But yeah. That's another whole story. Okay. Next page down there, which is page 5, Kelstein House, the Eagle's Nest. We call it the Eagle's Nest. They didn't call it the Eagle's Nest. They called it Kelstein House, which means the house, the building on Kelstein Mountain. That's the only thing that hasn't been torn down by the Bavarian government from the Third Reich. They didn't tear this down because it's making so damn much money. Of course, this is included in the tour price. The people
now you get to, this is where you're going to go, and the elevator from way down. How high of a trip is that elevator again? How many meters does it go? It goes way up.
I think it was 400 meters, something like that. I'm just going by memory.
That's 1,200 feet.
Yeah, but you start off already.
That's four. That's like four football fields going up that mountain.
Yeah, it goes right up the inside of the mountain. And this is the main room, which had been just the salon, the meeting room where Hitler entertained foreign guests or whatever. Now it's the restaurant.
Yeah. You look at that fireplace. There's archival footage of this, the so-called Eagle's Nest. You can see it online.
Yeah, and that fireplace, as you say, it's all red Italian marble, which was a gift of Benito Mussolini.
Can you imagine going there, ladies and gentlemen, and seriously just walking through the same rooms and that all of this history transpired? And just amazing.
Yeah. Yep, and then below that, if you go further up the mountain from the Eagle's Nest, you come across, if you know where to look for them, these are the foundations for the anti-aircraft guns. And the colonel who was in command of the defense of that mountain was a member of Shark Hunters.
That I didn't know. That's a new one on me. That's fascinating.
He has since passed away.
Yeah.
Before the war, he was a professor of humanities at one of the universities in Germany. When the war came, he was a colonel. I forget what it's called in the in the SS, Hauptsturmfuhrer or something like that. And he was in command of the anti-aircraft guns and the smoke.
Well, they actually, apparently there were bombing runs made on that mountain, and so those anti-aircraft facilities would have been used at some point.
Right. The end of April, or sometime in April of 45, the Royal Air Force came through. I mean, the war was all but over in April of 45, but
totally done, toast, cooked, finished.
Right.
So what the hell are they doing, you know? It's stupid.
Air Marshal Bomber Harris.
And his boss, Churchill, the German haters.
They sent waves of bombers over to bomb Hitler's home, Goering's home, Bormann's home, and everything they could there. And they did cause considerable damage to the homes, but they couldn't quite hit the Eagle's Nest because it's on such a skinny precipice. It's next to impossible. And the bottom picture, this is the view you see looking in one direction from the Eagle's Nest. And if you know where to look in that picture, you can actually see the castle at Salzburg, more than 20 kilometers distance. On the right side, that boat on the lake, that's Königssee, which means the king's lake, and that's where Eva Braun would come and sunbathe, sometimes naked, which upset Hitler no end. And then right below that...
Didn't seem to bother Angela Merkel much.
You saw that picture, right?
A long time ago.
Yeah, what a beauty. Well, she wasn't bad looking when she was, I guess she was about 18 or 19 in that picture. She and her two girlfriends were swimming naked. I guess that's the way they did it back in them days. Personally, I thought the one in the middle was a lot better looking. But ancient history. And then right below that, this is also on Königssee. It's a snack bar where I was having ice cream again.
Gosh.
We go there, we go every place you've seen, and right under that is the specifics. You get to the dinner meetings, the memorial in Ulrichsburg, the Eagle's Nest, underground bunkers and factories, all these famous places, the cruise on the Werther Sea, the cruise on the Königssee, and so much more. The price is only $3,885, 2 weeks, all your hotels, all your breakfast, all in-country transportation, entry to every place, meetings with all the veterans, and a bunch more.
And not only as much ice cream as you can eat, but you get to talk to Harry Cooper. That too.
Yeah, right. The ice cream
was fun.
Is great.
Yeah, 3,000 and how much?
$3,885.
All right, $3,800, trip of your life. I mean, I'd suggest people, even if they have to, get a loan for a vacation.
And the one question that some people ask, and they don't bother to read what's right there, no, airfare is not included. And there's a reason for that. First off, if we include the airfare,
it fluctuates
we would have to add it to the price.
Yeah, but you don't even know what it's going to be. It could change a lot.
Well, exactly. And we did that the first couple of years we went over there, and the jump-off place was JFK in New York. So that means if you live in Los Angeles, you've got to pay your own way to JFK anyhow. Plus, in this day and age, you can go back and forth pricing different airlines. And in the early days when we were doing this, you know, I'd get some guy call in, okay, I'm going. I'm going to send in my deposit. However, I've got 40 gazillion frequent flyer miles. So how much are you going to discount? Because I can pay for my own airfare.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just got to be a goat rodeo.
All right. So what it is you, does everyone fly on the same plane? No. They get, they leave from wherever they need to, but they need to land and meet in Germany at a certain time, a certain place. Okay.
In Munich on that Saturday.
Right.
And then catch the shuttle right at the airport. Catch the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
Costs €5, which is about $6. And it goes right to our hotel, which is about maybe 8-minute ride.
All right. So
and once you get to the hotel, I'm there to meet everybody. We get together the first evening at 6 o'clock to introduce everybody, go over the high points of the trip, answer any questions, and then we walk off to the best restaurant in that little town. It's also the worst restaurant. It's also the only restaurant, and they got great food. And we just have a fun fellowship evening, and then we kick off the tour the next morning, and you're always with the tour. You never shoved off on your own. You can go on your own if you know what you're doing or where you're going of an evening. Sometimes, you know, this is why we don't put the suppers on there as well, because we found in the past, you know, this group of young guys would get together and they'd want to go to McDonald's, and this group of older people would get together and they'd want to go to a wine bar, and you know, so we can't very well say no, tough bananas, you got to go where we say no. Everybody,
well, you know what you're doing.
People.
All right, now this again is going to be the last Southern Patrol, the last one. In a long tradition, so I urge you.
30 years worth.
Don't miss it. Now, if I might make a suggestion to the world, and I talked to Harry about this, what I'd like to do, and Harry likes the idea, is have somebody come along on the tour at either a tremendous discount or something special, whose job it would be, man or woman, to digitally record the video of the event. We want to make a film out of this, or a documentary, so to speak. A tour. Show the tour. So if you've got some skill, you can't be a rank amateur. You got to know what you're doing, how to get good shots and then set up. You don't have to overshoot 10-1, but we want to get this recorded. Then we want to edit it down into maybe an hour and a half or 2 1-hour pieces, whatever it takes, to show the tour. And we'll, Harry wants to put that up online eventually so everyone can go along and watch in a virtual sense. So if you're good with a digital camera, all right, contact Harry. It's early, but we're working on this. And he liked the idea that, and I'm not speaking out of school here, but I think it'd be wonderful to record this, not only for the people who go there, but for all people in the world who are interested in seeing history as the Southern Patrol presents it.
Yeah, it's been a great 30 years. We've gone just about, I think we missed 1 year out of the 30 years, but we still had a Shark Hunter's presence there. It's been 30 years. And incidentally, you probably don't know it, but 2 days ago on the 17th was the fifth anniversary of my first radio program with you. Five years.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
17th of January, 2013.
Wow, we were both 39 then, too. I remember that.
Right. And I've been 39 for a lot of years.
Yeah. Well, look, this is it. This is your chance to go with Harry Cooper, wonderful people, see history as it really was, not as certain vested and special interests want you to think it was, and meet the people who were there and who weathered the storm and somehow survived a terrible, terrible pounding. And you look at George Patton, read George Patton's letters to his wife, and it will expand your view of history, rather like this tour does, but in an intellectual sense. So do that.
Yeah, Patton had a problem. Not only kept saying they should rearm the Waffen-SS, because he had great respect for them, too. They should rearm the Waffen-SS and all together with the American troops march east into Moscow. But also, his biggest problem was he kept asking what happened to the $3 billion worth of gold that disappeared out of the Reichsbank after the Allies came through. And I think we know where it wound up, but we're not supposed to know that.
No, we don't know anything. By the way, there was a recent news story that came out that allegedly, once and for all, showed FBI documentation that, surprise, surprise, Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun and almost 10,000 admitted central figures and upper-level figures in the German government, in the Reich government, went to Argentina and South America. Now, that's just individual people. We're not talking about their families, their children, whatever. And this was facilitated, I want to make this very clear, by the American government, which didn't just look the other way. They used long-distance DC-4s with tanks to fly a lot of people there. They sent a lot of them down there by ship because of the deal. There was a deal made. You have to understand that. We've talked about it lots of times here. The deal was freedom for the upper level, the German government and their families, in exchange for key German brilliant rocket scientists and other scientists in disciplines that were so far behind in the West that they wanted that knowledge. That was the deal. That was the trade-off, and it included Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun.
Yeah, and Bormann and so many others.
Yep.
And I'm going back there on an expedition.
To South America.
In March. It's going to be a little bumpy there, a little tough this time because our angel has passed away. We had an angel, a guy named, I don't know if we're supposed to say his name. Well, Jack Goodyear was his name. He was a multimillionaire, member since 1985, and he lived in South Miami in a very upscale neighborhood. And every time we had an expedition to South America, he'd spend $5,000 to us to cover our expenses down there. But he just passed away, and so we are frantically searching for another angel who wants to donate money to keep this history alive. As you know, nobody at Shark Hunters gets a salary. None of that money goes into my pocket. It all goes, I'm living on my Social Security and my retirements, but the money all goes to the expedition, and it's tax deductible because we have the Shark Hunters International Submarine Research Institute, in addition to Shark Hunters International.
Right.
And this, which we call SISRI, S-I-S-R-I, which is short for Shark Hunters International Submarine Research Institute, that's a 501c3 IRS tax-exempt organization. So anything people donate, they can take off their taxes. So, you know, and Jack always donated $5,000. Jack always got all the photos we took, all the films we took, and, of course, he got his tax deduction. So if anybody out there wants to take Jack's place, we'd sure love to have
or
you
even
contact
a group,
us.
A group of you. New York could be 10 people. It doesn't matter. We just want to keep this going. And
right.
Jack,
all
Jack
donations
was,
are welcome.
Think of all the history that Jack helped disclose and reveal.
Oh, God, yes.
Just amazing.
I couldn't have gone even the first time if it wasn't for him, and I've been 9 times down there now, and we're going back in March, as I say, and we've found so much down there, and we'll be seeing some of it here, and I'll probably expand on it because, as you know, I talk a lot. I'm Irish. I talk a lot. So,
that's okay.
Anybody can just send us an email at sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. It's real easy. We're getting off Earthlink. Earthlink sucks. They went down yesterday. We weren't getting anything. So sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. And even if you don't want to sponsor, be an angel, just send us an email and say you heard the program tonight and you want a free copy of the magazine we produce, and we'll just send you an internet copy of the magazine. No charge, no strings attached, no obligations. sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com.
Very good. All right. So there you go. That's the second link under Harry's name. You can find that if you want to look into the idea of helping this organization. And it is tax deductible. All right? Be a Shark Hunter's angel and help us reveal history. Now, that said, we should mention that the tour again is coming up in September. Give us the exact dates, Harry.
Wait till I look.
All right, here, I got it. Hi, September 29th. Through October 13th.
you're quicker than I am. I had to actually get out of my chair to go look at the files over here.
No, it's right there.
I have to say, we do have one great guy who's already chipped in $2,500 toward this next tour. I don't know if I'm supposed to say his name, but I'm going to stick my neck out. It's Steve Wolf from Wolf Hardin Galleries. And they are probably the top level of Militaria artifacts, and you can find them online. I don't know their exact.
I need to get in touch with him about my stolen Hitler art.
Okay.
He might be able to help me.
You and I can talk after the show or tomorrow because he and I talk on the phone. He's a great guy.
Wonderful. Well, bravo indeed. So, yes, we'll look into that as well. I urge all of you again, think about this and noodle it around. Look at the pictures on the site. If you want to talk to Harry, give a call. He'll make time for you and tell you anything you need to know about this.
Sure.
But it's your last chance to look at history and experience it. So,
and meet a whole lot of great people.
That's always the case.
Yeah. Whenever we go there, we always find that some people from our side meet some people from the German side to become fast friends.
Well, that's the name of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yesterday's enemies are today's friends. That's our motto that was given to us by two German U-boat skippers. One is was my best friend over there, Hans-Georg Hess, who passed away a few years ago. He was the youngest combat submarine commander. A couple of months past his 21st birthday, he was in command of a combat submarine. And the other guy who said the same thing was Captain Reinhard Hardagen, who in 2 months is going to celebrate his 105th birthday.
Wow, wonderful.
Neat guy. He's been with us on our tours up until he was about 90. Then he didn't travel anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still driving his Mercedes until his 103rd birthday. Then his children took away his car keys.
Did he have, what, now, was this one of the, they, Mercedes made, I think it was called a 170, and they began making them in the late 30s, and they made them actually until the mid-50s. The only time they didn't make them was from 1943 to 1946. They resumed production in 1947. It's a little black four-door sedan, and the front doors and the back doors joined in the middle. The back doors were what they call suicide doors.
Suicide doors, sure.
And these were all over Germany until Hitler, in the early 30s, said, we've got to have something that's affordable to everyone. We need a people's car. And hence the term Volkswagen, and that's where the car came from. It was Adolf Hitler designed it, basically approved of the actual engineering, and there are pictures of him. First time you got to see a mock-up of it. And
we've got a copy of what he drew on
a napkin, wasn't it?
On something? A napkin when he was having dinner with Dr. Porsche, and he designed it as a four-door. But they never made a four-door bug. But no, Captain Hartigan did not drive anything like that. He drove about the biggest, most fancy, high-buck Mercedes he could get. And his license plate was 123, which was his submarine, U-123.
Yeah. Wow, very interesting. Okay, that's our first hour. We're going to come back next hour and take a look at some historical photos that I'm sure you'll enjoy as well. And do give thought about the possibility that you might be able to join this tour coming up in September, early October. It will be something that it will enrich you in ways that you can't even imagine. Hold on, and we'll be right back.